This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? We're off and running on a Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. We're coming to you from coast to coast as always. Michael out of his office in Jersey. I'm right here at Circa Resort and Casino downtown Las Vegas. Got so much to get to over the course of the next 2 hours. A number of injuries to update as we always do on a Wednesday. Get some of those reports out there. We're just a day out from Thursday Night Football. A number of 3-3 teams we want to analyze to see if they are on the up and up or the downward spiral, and it's Why Not Wednesday. So you know we got some long shots that we're going to throw your way and see whether or not they might be worth buying in. Michael, how are you today? What's going on, my guy?
I am good. I am doing very good. You know, it's a good week. We try to keep up with all these injuries, less games to kind of get ready for, but it's still good. I'm excited to see what happens and who plays and who doesn't play. You know, these injury reports are always interesting to kind of manipulate. I thought the line, you know, and just specifically Jacksonville, the line when this morning was back down to 1, which makes it seem like Trevor Lawrence will play. The line was 3 yesterday when we were on the show. Now it's 1.
Yep, that's one we'll continue to keep an eye on. But Trevor Lawrence, of course, talking to reporters yesterday, said he feels optimistic that he's going to go despite it being a short week. So we'll discuss that game more at length in just a little bit, Michael. But with all these teams on bye, it seems like a natural point for the quarterly NFL owners meetings. And we did see the news today that Roger Goodell officially has been extended to 2027, a very lucrative deal. While we don't know the specific numbers, it's expected that his contract is upward of $60 million a year. I don't even know, Michael. I've never asked you, like, what are your general feelings on Goodell as commissioner and how he's done the last, you know, 17 years?
Well, I mean, he's been obviously one of the best commissioners in all of sports. The popularity of the game has grown tremendously. The value of the franchises has significantly risen. I mean, the Washington football team just sold for $6.05 billion. Denver sold for $4.5 billion. I mean, why does that happen? Because the league is just so, everybody loves the league. The ratings are good. The ability to reach all the global world. I mean, we're playing in Germany, playing in England. Look, he deserves a ton of the credit. I mean, he deserves a ton of the credit for the game being able to grow and put wealth, more wealth, into these owners' pockets. And ultimately, that's who he works for. He works for those 32 owners.
Yeah, and like I said, his new deal will go through March of 2027. That'll have him at 21 years in the role. This is expected to likely be his last extension in this position. But speaking of how the game has grown and playing in other countries, unfortunately, the NFL will not play in Mexico next year. This was another thing that came out of the league meetings with Estadio Azteca undergoing renovation. So they're exploring either Spain or Brazil as another potential option. Other items discussed at the meetings, they approved a change of the interview procedure for coaching vacancies, banning those in-person outside candidate meetings until after the divisional round of the playoffs. They're looking at the tush push. Don't expect a rule change there. They're considering eliminating the hip drop tackle as well, which I wanted your opinion on from that standpoint, because the league says that creates 25 times the injury risk compared to a standard tackle, and also continuing research on those playing surfaces and seeing what they can do to make things more uniform around the league.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know how they're going to handle the hip tackling, because, you know, I don't know what they expect some of these players to do when they get, you know, like the other night, I forget, it was like, what did you expect him to do when he went in there and tackle? I think it was Kirsch got called for a penalty, you know, and you just like, wait a minute. Quarterback was, you can't stop your body just because he starts to slide, you know? Like, to me, there's some of those that are just ridiculous, but it'll be interesting to see how they do it. Look, we saw Bo Jackson go down with a hip, one of these kind of tackles, mm-hmm. and ended his career. So if it helps in that area, I'm all for it. But I don't know how they're going to police it. I don't know how they're going to officiate it, because we haven't been able to get any of that officiated properly.
I mean, officials in general have been a big problem. So maybe that's what Goodell needs to do. You got this new money, you got this new contract. Let's have a call with officials. Let's get things set and figured out, because it's been pretty atrocious. Like even the Monday night game, Michael, we saw 20 flags on the field. It was just too much.
Well, you know, whenever you can get, you know, you got, you know, Scott Novak was doing the Jets game. He's going to throw his flags. You know, you got some guys that just love to do it. I mean, they think people come to watch them. And I get it. You know, I get it if you see a call, you know, that you see a holding call at the point of attack. I get that. But some of them, you know, like they don't even understand. Like I could, like when a defensive player gives himself up and a big man tackles, almost looks like he tackles him, you can't call holding on that. The guy was giving himself up, yet they do.
And I know it's the hardest job, the completely thankless job as well, being an official in the National Football League, but it just kills me sometimes. All you want to do is be on TV, do X, Y, and Z, and then in the critical moments when you should make the call, you don't. So anyways, neither here nor there. Let's move it forward, because we did get official word, Michael. We expected this. We talked about it yesterday, but that Anthony Richardson is going to go ahead and have season-ending shoulder surgery. Jim Irsay, the team owner, on X today, making the announcement official, and did add that they anticipate a full recovery, said there's no doubt Anthony has a promising future, and in the meantime, he loves the fight of this team and is excited for the opportunity they have ahead of them that starts this week in Cleveland, where Indy is getting 2 points against the Browns. And another thing we talked about yesterday, so Gardner Minshew's going to be on this side. Who's going to be on the other? Still TBD with Deshaun Watson. But Michael, he is expected to talk to media today, which I think is, as we look on our screen, move the line a little bit here, anticipating Deshaun Watson might play. The Browns are a 3-point favorite right now.
Well, that was going down this morning when I got up. It was 1.5. It was 2 and 1.5 somewhere. And now it's moving in the other direction. And I didn't understand it. I had heard a lot of the lot of money was coming in on Indy. I don't really understand that, because how is Indy going to move the ball? When you watch Indy play Jacksonville last week, it really wasn't a complicated game plan for Mike Caldwell and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Played press man coverage on these receivers. They can't separate. Alex Pierce is hurt. Whether he can play or not, I don't know. But he's one of the few guys on the Colts that can make plays. So the receivers are not great there. Michael Pittman, all those guys. And then they played a front, which makes it almost impossible to run the ball on. So they take away the run game, play tight man-to-man, and you pressure Minshew inside. How is he going to move the ball against a defense that has given up 52 first downs? Think about that. The Browns have only given up 52 first downs all season. All year, 6 games, 52 first downs. They've got 3 corners that can cover man-to-man. They have no problem. There's no issues in terms of what the Browns do from a scheme standpoint. It's not complicated. They block you. They play bump, run, press, and they get after your quarterback. I mean, I think the under's in play here, certainly. What's it at 40.5?
41.5
in some shops. You know, but I just don't know how Indy scores, because in these games, Minshew tends to play smaller.
Yeah, and you said yesterday too that not only in terms of this game, but the rest of the way with Gardner Minshew, the warts that this team has aren't going to be as easy to be masked and covered up as they would be when you have Anthony Richardson in there. So updated season win total as well to that end, 7.5. The over is juiced to the -140. Jalen Hurts, we know, is coming off a 3-interception performance this past weekend, Michael, but getting a little extra depth and help in that wide receiver room, it appears. As I was walking to the car after we got off the air yesterday, Julio Jones signed a 1-year deal with the Eagles.
That was a head scratcher for me. I didn't get that one, Stormy. I when I watch the Eagles on tape, a receiver isn't kind of what jumps out to me that they may need, right? Like, I didn't see that. Now, I think they need a backup right tackle, because if Lane Johnson doesn't play, they're not as good as a football team. So I don't know how that really is all going to translate. You know, because the last time we saw Julio, it was in Tennessee, and he wasn't playing, and he had no juice in his lower body. Now, maybe the time off and all that, it's going to help him. But look, I mean, why would we throw the ball to anybody but A.J. Brown? Why would we throw it to anybody but Smith or Goddard? Like, I mean, those are the 3 leading receivers on the team. Like, why are we throwing it to anybody other than those 3? Seriously, why would we?
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you look at Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's the funniest team of all, and it relates to this conversation as well. Like, Atlanta, I mean, Bijan Robinson averages 5 yards a carry. Algier averaged 3.2. Algier has 75 carries, Robinson has 80. Like, at some point after six games, you say, I'm not giving the ball to Algier anymore. That's it. I'm done. Like, Robinson's going to get the ball. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing in Philly. Like, why would we give the ball to anybody but those three guys I just mentioned?
Yeah, and I mean, with Julio Jones, fourth team in the last 4 years, he is a Hall of Fame wide receiver, but and doesn't have the same juice that he once did now at 34 years old. But that said, I understand from maybe just a leadership standpoint, like A.J. Brown, 26 years old, maybe just bringing in a veteran presence, one last shot for him to try to give it his all and get a Super Bowl under his belt. I don't know if there were, like you said off the top, there are probably other things they could have gone and get, but I mean, as cheap as Julio Jones is, just to add a veteran leadership presence, I don't mind it. It's not anything that moves the needle for me, but it's not something that like bothers me by any means, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think when they put him on practice, right? So I put him on practice, what they're saying to you is they're going to look, they're kicking the tires, basically. There's no commitment here that he's on the team.
Right.
You know, they're going to kick the tires and see how he holds up. Can he stay healthy? I think that's the first question you got to ask yourself. Can he stay healthy?
Yeah, the PCL last year, of course, the lingering hamstring injuries that he's dealt with. So certainly things to keep on. What does he have left in the tank from a health standpoint? Also, speaking of injuries, before we go to the break, the Eagles are facing the Miami Dolphins this week. And Jalen Ramsey watch is over. His 21-day window opening, he's expected to be back on the practice field today for the Miami Dolphins. And for a defense that, Michael, we've said that's kind of been the one thing that's maybe holding them back as a contender because of how high-flying that offense is. That'd be a good get to have him back.
Yeah, it really would be. They need him back. I mean, Xavier Howard's hurt again. So, you know, he's got some issues. He hasn't really covered. They don't really have a pure cover guy in their secondary. They need him back badly.
Regardless, he's not going to play this Sunday in that game against Philadelphia. Not going to try to rush him back, but should be back sooner rather than later, which is a big boost to that defense. More injuries to come, including a certain New York Jets player. Might not be the one you think, though. We'll discuss when we return.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Basketball season is ready to tip off, and the VSiN experts have been hard at work tracking the latest player moves to help you bet smarter. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NBA betting guide featuring up-to-date previews on all 30 teams, futures and year-long player props, best bets on player awards like Rookie of the Year, live betting strategies, plus strategy and advice on building your own NBA betting model from senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel. Give yourself an edge this season. Get the VSiN NBA betting guide. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can do so at vsin.com/subscribe. And Michael, thank goodness that Philadelphia, that y'all have the Phillies right now and how crazy that has been, because between the Eagles losing their first game, oh my goodness, and the 76ers and James Harden not showing up, Michael, there could be chaos, but there's not, because the Phillies are on just an absolute steamroller right now.
Houston resting comfortably, yes, because he wants to be traded to the Chargers. I mean, to the Clippers.
Yeah.
So everything's fine. Don't worry. Ugh. Have you ever seen a franchise that have more players quit on them than the 76ers? Seriously.
Like I said, I've said it every day this week. I'm not going to force you to go down that tunnel, but every day I see new James Harden news. I have to bring it up at least once. But don't worry. We'll go back to the NFL here. We were talking yesterday a little bit as well, Michael, about some 3-3 teams. And I asked you if you thought the Saints were the worst of the 3-3 teams. You said no. You said it is the Washington Commanders. So that made me naturally want to break down all of the 3-3 teams and see if we're buying or selling. So let's start with those Washington Commanders, because based on that sentiment, I already know that you're selling, but I'll bring it up anyways. Their season win total updated is 7.5. Buying or selling them getting over that number? What do we think? They're going to be up?
Initially, I thought they could get over. I misjudged their ability to play defense. I'm selling. Their defense is horrendous. They're horrendous. I mean, first of all, Howell gets sacked 13.7% of the time, 34 sacks in six games. They won't run the ball, you know, and they're 13th in yards per attempt rushing. So it isn't like they can't run it. They just don't run it. And their quarterback's going to get killed. I'm selling.
Selling, and I don't blame you. Now, you said the Saints are not the worst. They could be close to the next worst, maybe. 3-3, their season updated win total, 9.5. We said that they were going to be the best team in this division, and that has not played out to this point.
Well, we said that based on Carr playing half decent, and that hasn't held up his end of the deal. I'm selling this. There's no chance they're going to go to 9. Losing the way they did to Houston was inexcusable, you know. And I'm not saying that because I took Houston. I mean, I took the Saints, but they outgained them. They did everything except put the ball in the end zone. And their quarter, they have nobody to blame but your quarterback. I don't know if he's going to stay healthy either. This game is going to be hard because both tackles are going to miss the game and the backup tackle. Good luck.
And he's dealing with a chest and that shoulder injury that's been lingering the last couple of weeks. Speaking of health, that is always what it comes down to, it seems like, the last couple of years with the Los Angeles Rams. Buying or selling LA as a 3-3 team?
I'm going to buy them, and with a caveat. Stafford has to stay healthy. Stafford and Aaron Donald have to stay healthy. People will put Kupp in there. They've already proven they can play without Kupp, right? They've proven that. They can't win without Stafford, and they can't win without Donald. I'll buy them.
Plus 115 for LA to make the playoffs. Their updated season win total, 8.5. Also, speaking to injuries, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reporting earlier that Kyren Williams is at least expected to miss a couple weeks, but should be on track after the week 10 bye. So something that we'll have to keep an eye on. They signed a couple other depth running backs, Daryl Henderson, Miles Gaskin, moving up in that standpoint, but sinks they're going to be without their lead back for the next month.
Yeah, I mean, they always seem to have some kind of injury, but at least, you know, they're going to need to get their running game going here. I mean, that's going to be the problem. Can they get that done?
I don't know. How about the Atlanta Falcons? Also 3-3. Finally getting some other guys involved in the passing game. I know people are all big mad at Desmond Ridder and the interceptions, but you feel he's improving. Are we buying or selling Atlanta?
I'm going to buy Atlanta. And look, they're really good on third down. They don't turn the ball over with their defense. They've only had 4 turnovers created all year. They've turned the ball over with their offense because they're throwing them more. They've averaged 225 yards passing the last 2 weeks. Everybody said, well, we got to get him to throw the football. Well, you know, the problem is sometimes he makes mistakes, as young quarterbacks often do. Look, they've got to settle on, we're going to get the ball to Robinson. We got to get the ball to London and Pitts. We've got to make those guys be the guys that make the most plays on our team. And then we've got to create some pressure with our defense. I think that's been the biggest concern.
Let's go to the AFC. We talked earlier in the show already about the New York Jets. And of course, they get a big win over the Philadelphia Eagles this past week. I was impressed by the Jets without their top 3 corners. They come away with 3 interceptions, 4 turnovers total forced on the day. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say Zach Wilson is playing well, but he's not playing bad. He didn't cost the Jets the game the last 2 weeks. 1-2 in a row, buying or selling as they go into the bye?
I'm going to sell. I mean, they couldn't beat the Patriots. Seriously? You couldn't beat the Patriots?
Well, Michael, real quickly, especially because Robert Saleh said in that post-game press conference that we played a number of good quarterbacks and we've embarrassed them. Well, obviously you didn't embarrass Dak Prescott and you let Mac Jones beat you. So I don't know.
I mean, come on. And then, you know, everybody's now they're back to being a great defense again, you know, I mean, because they beat the Eagles. We'll see. I'm not going down that road. I'm just not.
The one thing that I will say in defense of the New York Jets, though, Michael, is that if you would have told me going into this season that Zach Wilson going up against Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts on the other side, there's 9 interceptions combined in those games. How many would you guess that Zach Wilson had of those 9? Just like going into the year, 5 or 6, right? 5 or 6, I would say.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably one. So yeah. Pretty remarkable, I think, from that standpoint. Let's keep it going. The Cincinnati Bengals at 3-3. They are typically slow starters. Joe Burrow looking healthier. Buying or selling?
I would buy them. They improved defensively. They rushed the passer really well last week, which saved the game for them. I mean, look, they won the game in the red zone because they got stops in the red zone. I'll buy them for right now.
To make the playoffs, plus 140, their season win total sitting 8.5, juice minus 150 to the over, half game out of first in that AFC North, which we were talking about yesterday. Seems like all the wild cards in the AFC are going to come from that division, the way that they've been playing. The Houston Texans, CJ Stroud has been phenomenal. The defense under DeMeco Ryan seems to be waking up. They have been playing some good football at 3-3. Season win total updated 8.5, juice to the over. Are we buying or selling? Is this for real?
I'm buying them hard. I'll double down and buy them. Look, they're good in the kicking game. They're better on defense, and their offensive line, which was a mess pretty much most of the season because of all the injuries that they had, I think they're playing really well. And Stroud has not missed a beat. He's been great. So I'm definitely buying them.
We were talking a week ago on Why Not Wednesday about whether or not we should back the Houston Texans to win the division. It was plus 475 then, plus 275 now. The things have certainly changed. The betting market seems to agree with our thought process that Houston is turning things around. The Indianapolis Colts, we talked about how Anthony Richardson officially lost for the season, and with Gardner Minshew in at quarterback, it's harder to cover up some of the other glaring issues that this team has. I assume you're selling on them as a 3-3 team. Their win total 7.5.
No chance you're getting me to buy them. Not with Gardner. No, I mean, once you know, Gardner may have a good game here and a good game there, but there's too many times where he plays small. This week against Cleveland, I don't understand why people are in love with the Colts this week against the Browns. Look, P.J. Walker's not a great player. He threw two interceptions last week. They ran for 160 yards against the 49ers. You don't think the Browns are going to be able to run the ball against the Indianapolis Colts? I mean, you know, I think they can win with their defense. The Browns have proven that. Look, here's how good Cleveland is on defense. They've only allowed one quarterback to throw for 200 yards, and that was Kenny Pickett. And in that 200 yards was a 71-yard reception. Think about that, Stormy.
Yeah.
They played six games, and you can't throw the ball. People are throwing the ball on them. Like, how are the Colts going to move the ball on them?
Hard to argue the Cleveland Browns' best defense in the league right now. And I imagine some of that betting sentiment's going to change if Deshaun Watson ends up playing. Again, he is speaking to the media at some point today. Last one here, the Las Vegas Raiders. They are 3-3, updated win total 7.5. Injury, it's tough. It's
tough.
I have to
buy them. I mean, Millie's listening to the show. I have to buy them. So, yeah, I will. I'll buy them.
I'll
buy them.
I'll at least follow up with the question, what's your level of concern with Jimmy Garoppolo? Because it's always the injury factor that's the question.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. I hold my breath every time he gets hit. I feel badly, you know? I mean, they've played six games. They've won three games when they've only turned the ball over once. They've lost three games when they've turned it over three times. They've yet to play a game where they haven't turned it over. They've yet to play a game where they haven't turned it over. So for me, you know, I mean, I don't know what will happen this week. I haven't seen the medical report, and certainly my son's not telling me. He's cut off all communications with the family, and since Sienna can't really talk, I can't get anything out of her. So eventually she will tell me, but right now her language is not very good. She can point her finger better than anybody, but I mean, I think it'll be, if it's not Garoppolo, it'll be Aiden O'Connell.
Yep. We are waiting with bated breath for Sienna to get the vocab down so we can get some of the inside information. But yep, that is one that we'll have to keep an eye on as well. Jimmy Garoppolo dealing with a back injury. We will look at some of the biggest betting splits and disparities for this week's action.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With all four major sports in action, there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now, get full access to VSiN Pro and everything we do through May 1st for just $120, including daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus exclusive betting content for all things MLB playoffs, college football, the rest of the NFL season. March Madness will be here before you know it, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, as well as the draft. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up now. This is the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bond, and Tony with you. And it's time for Lombardi's List, breaking down, according to Michael's power ratings, the top five and bottom five teams in the NFL. And I think coming off of this past week, Michael, I'm very curious to see what you have here, because we had some wonky performances that I'm sure have moved around your numbers a little bit here. And for the past 2 weeks, it's been the San Francisco 49ers on top. They suffer their first loss of the season. Are they still there? Are they still number one?
Because they didn't really play a bad game. I mean, they're a kick away from being undefeated if Moody makes the kick. So, yeah, they did. Buffalo's numbers are going to start to go down based on what they gave up offensively. Kansas City's really gets carried by their defense more than their offense, but their offense is still really effective. And Baltimore moves in there because I think Baltimore's starting to play better. Baltimore's healthy now, too. And then Detroit and Philly are really tied for fifth place because Philly, you know, didn't play well last week. Detroit's numbers have increasingly gone up, up, up on both sides of the ball. So to me, those are the six best teams. Put them in five clusters. They're the same. I didn't have Baltimore as a team likely to make the playoff, likely to make the Super Bowl. Remember when I did that list? But I think these other five are right there.
So what needs to happen for the Ravens to start punching it in the red zone? One of six in the red zone in London this past week, settling for field goals left and right, which, hey, they got the points on the board. But you look at that total for the game specifically, it falls under. Should have been a no sweat over based on how many times that they were in scoring position. What needs to change for them to get there and continue to rise in your numbers?
You know, I think what really has to happen is they've got to stay healthy, right? I mean, I think that's really important. They've got to stay healthy. And, you know, they can't keep – their offensive line wasn't good earlier in the year because of health reasons. I think if they do that and the way Lamar's throwing the football and getting it to the skill, I think they're going to be really good. Look, they've got to be able to run the football because that's what they do, and they can run the football. But for me you know, I think ultimately what it comes down to is their health. Can they stay healthy and can they rush the pass? I think Clowney's actually played really well for him. I mean, he's come in and played really well for him. So I think that's great. But for me, I think they ultimately got to stay healthy. Lamar's got to continue to play as well as he could play.
And a tough game this weekend against a Lions team that's also in your top that we were just talking about in the Survivor, like whether or not I or anyone would be willing to take a risk on an underdog in Detroit in this spot. Like, what do you make of that number sitting three this weekend for Baltimore?
You know, I was surprised it was a little bit, you know, it was three. I thought it might be, you know, under three, to be honest with you. I thought it might go there. But I think there's so much love for Detroit in the marketplace. Plus, I mean, when you sit there and the fans read that Jared Goff is one of the most profitable players against the split, and so is the Lions. They're one of the most profitable teams since 2000 against the split. So against the spread. So I think ultimately, you know, that's what gives a lot. But second road game for Detroit, no running back. This is what really keeps me away from Detroit in the game is without Montgomery, and maybe they'll have Gibbs, maybe they won't. I think that's a little problematic, but I do like Detroit's team, whatever happens here.
Yeah, I believe the expectation is that they should get Gibbs back. Montgomery going to be out for a little bit, according to Dan Campbell, with a rib injury. So something to keep tabs on because he has been excellent for Detroit to start the year. Let's go from the top five now to the bottom of the barrel. Michael, who are your bottom five this week?
Well, my bottom five is pretty much the same. I mean, when you go through it, Arizona is Arizona, Chicago, they moved up a little bit. Carolina is always kind of going to be teetering around there. The Giants and then, of course, the Broncos with, you know, the Broncos just can't get anything going. When they think they're going to get something going offensively, they've had chances to win some games. I mean, let's be clear here. I mean, they got to, you know, they're playing Kansas City as well as you could play. As bad as they are on defense, they played Kansas City as good as they can. They just make too many mistakes at the wrong time and, you know, they turn the ball over. I mean, that's a 24-20. Everybody's loving the Jets, right? It's a 24-21 game, and Denver's got the ball, and they could tie the game up on a drive. And, of course, Russell fumbles it, and next thing you know, it's over.
Yeah, they've been mistake-prone for sure. The Jets, who you mentioned, move off of your list. They were previously in the bottom five, but coming off a win over the Philadelphia Eagles and the turnovers that they were able to force against Jalen Hurts, I'm sure helped boost their numbers to an extent. They're not in the bottom five, which surprised me a little bit. Where are the Patriots?
They're right there. They're right above it. I think they're 24th. Okay. They're not good at all. I mean, look, none of these teams, there's so many teams, I think, when you break it down, Stormy, and you look at the bottom, I mean, that's why I wrote the column last week. Like, there's very few teams that really have Super Bowl qualities to them. I mean, but when you go down the bottom, I mean, New England, Las Vegas, Tennessee, Washington, Atlanta, Indianapolis, the Chargers even, New Orleans, Green Bay, the Jets. Do you think any of those teams can win a Super Bowl?
Michael,
of course not.
Is this like And granted, like, we have a couple teams at the top that you feel pretty confident in, right? But it's still not like what we've seen in years past, where you have a team that just feels like they are on a collision course and they're going to be there in the Super Bowl. It just has that feel the entire year. I don't think there's any team, maybe other than San Francisco, and it was a good thing that they got tripped up early to have that off their back the rest of the year, right? Maybe them. But other than that, still kind of a question mark. I feel like there are a lot of bad teams in the NFL right now, like more so than I remember in recent history.
And really, it's highlighted by bad quarterbacking play. You want to know why teams can't score in the red zone? Watch the quarterbacking play. You know, and they're not giving the receivers a chance to make a play. You know, they don't make throws in the red zone to get up to them. I mean, that's really what it is. We're getting a lot of bad quarterbacking play in the NFL. I mean, a lot of it, and that gives you no chance to win. And, you know, a team that even has a good offensive coach is struggling to get good quarterbacking play. So I think it's really just there's such a disparity between good coaching and bad coaching or good quarterbacking. It's really hard.
The Carolina Panthers, the lone winless team so far here in the National Football League, there is a prop 17-1 for them to go winless the rest of the way. Do you think that's possible? Or are they going to sneak a couple in?
I've often said to you, when I was at the Raiders in 06, we won two games with the worst team in the history of football. There's no way they can't win games. There's no way.
As hard as it is to go undefeated, it's just as hard to go defeated.
It's even harder to not just kind of milk your way into one. Somehow, some way, kind of luck your way into a one win. So, yeah, I don't see how it's even remotely possible to not win a game. I know the Lions would test it. Rod Marinelli's Lions would argue with that, but you got to be really bad to do that. But look, Carolina, it's going to be interesting what Thomas Brown does with this play calling, because they're not as bad as you think they are, but they're just so bad in the offensive line. And the quarterback, again, he gets killed. I think a lot of our problem in the NFL today is there's no respect for protections. No one's taking care of the quarterback. No one's taking care of the quarterback. And when you manage the quarterback, like, for example, the other night, you could just tell that the Green Bay Raider game, I thought, was the perfect indication of what I'm talking about. Both head coaches were getting killed for their play calling and all that. Really, what both coaches were trying to do was not let their quarterbacks beat them. That's what they were trying to do. See, it's easy for us to sit there and say, you got to be more aggressive. You got to go after it. That's what everybody said about Desmond Ridder. Now they want him benched. Right now they want them benched. So it's like, what do you want to do? So I think a lot of times teams are conservative because they don't want their quarterback to hurt them. And if you're the Raiders, you've lost three games because you had three turnovers, and the games you've won, you only committed one turnover in each of those games. So you're just a turnover machine. You're trying to limit your turnovers.
Yeah, there's a longer list of untrustworthy quarterbacks in the NFL than there are the ones that you feel very, very calm and confident in a lot of those moments.
Yeah, it's funny when I sit there and when people say, I can't bet that quarterback. Wait a minute. You can't bet that quarterback, but you're going to bet that one? Like, you know, I can't bet PJ Walker. Well, you're going to bet somebody else? You're going to bet Gardner Minshew? Yeah. Are you going to go bet him? I mean, you saw what happened last week when you bet him. Now, sometimes guys play good against bad defenses. You can't let that lure you into sleeping. I mean, but you have to be real. Like, who is good?
What's so mind-boggling to me is that there's only 32 of these jobs, right? There's only 32 starting quarterback jobs in the country, in the world, in the NFL. And yet, this is the caliber that we get for half of them.
It really goes back to it's such an instinctive position. Yeah. It's not the most talented player plays quarterback. It's an instinctive position, and it's hard.
Well, we have a talented guest, Harry Gagnon, former sportsbook supervisor. He's going to join us next. Get ready for the cartoon, ladies and gents.